And we are live. This is Dark Journalist. What a fantastic crowd we have out there in the ideas room tonight already. Of course, tonight I am joined by the lovely Olivia.
Hi, everybody.
And Olivia, you know, in China, they say, may you live in interesting times. And I guess that's kind of come true for us over here.
Yes, it certainly has.
Today was a very impactful day. I guess you could call it a one of those, in astrology, I guess they'd call it, what, a high transit day? Mm-hmm. Something along that line. So much going on and so much to report to you. Of course, today earlier, I was on the Alex Jones InfoWars show, which was a blast. And Alex was very gracious to have me on there talking about these very, very far out topics and getting a real hardcore notion on the UFO file and the UFO threat operation that's underway by forces inside the national security state. I've said it before that Alex is a guy who has a real good depth and great grasp of the topic around the UFO file and understands there's kind of a cosmogenesis around the whole thing, that it's not just, you know, hey, metal old flying ships up there from some other planet with, you know, Martians inside. There's a whole kind of depth to the thing, and this is something that he gets very well, so I appreciate that. And the segment is up on band.video. I try to put it up for you guys on Twitter, and Twitter was like, this could be dangerous. Well, so much for your non-censorship there, Mr. Musk, Howard Hughes 2.0. So they're still playing that game, but it's not a problem because we're going to find another way to put it up. And if you're on the newsletter list, then we're going to send that out with this episode for you. So you're going to be all set either way, and we'll probably put a copy up as well. Now, we did a show on Wednesday all about the UFO file wars, and that included this new whistleblower, Grush, and you know, all of his connections to the former CIA whistleblowers and all the intel people wrapped up in the TTSA op around the UFO threat file operation. The whole goal behind that program is in lockstep with the media, is to give us a false disclosure and to let the media create, along with the intelligence factions, that emergency UFO threat so that they can exercise emergency powers. In the meantime, they can build up a vast government infrastructure to fight the aliens, because, you know, those people in politics, they're the good guys, as we find out. Tonight, what I'm going to try to do is hone so many of the things that we brought up in that report and what I brought up today on Alex's show. And a lot of that has to do with the nature and the character of the obfuscation around the UFO file, which I think is crucial to understand. And we also have a mystery school aspect which needs to be brought in, and this is left out completely by the kind of run over the cliff UFO reporting that we see all over social media right now. And, you know, it's very interesting. Of course, I saw someone earlier, Schellenberger, who's one of the Twitter files people. And we know the Twitter files thing was something with Taibbi and Schellenberger, and they were exposing these things, but it was basically like, you know, pretty lightweight stuff. And it didn't really go anywhere. There's a little slap on the wrist here and there. But in truth, under the leadership of Jack Dorsey, there was intense, intense censorship of conservative politicians and also left-wing politicians who didn't toe the line. And they interfered with an election by having 51 intelligence officials sign off on the idea that the Hunter Biden laptop, which surfaced showing crimes not only of Hunter's, but of his dad, the president occupant, in the White House, Stepford Biden. And these intelligence officials, you know, Brennan and the whole gang there, who are deeply involved in the obfuscation around the CIA UFO file, those guys all said, well, no, this is all Russian disinformation. And they actually made a huge impact in the middle of an election there. So, you know, this is very important for us to understand the way these people operate. But Schellenberger now is somebody who's showing up as a big flag waver on the UFO file. And the problem is that some of the people who come forward on this, they just hop onto the topic because it's the thing that's happening. It's the thing the news is reporting. And remember, a lot of that news cycle is controlled by the intelligence agencies. So it's hardly fair to say that it's an organic process. But, you know, their whole thing about, well, we'll go to the facilities and get the craft. It doesn't work that way. And what's been interesting is if you don't look at the large infrastructure that affects every part of that national security state and the government inside and learn that there's 80 years of obfuscation by the intelligence agencies and NASA and others around the UFO file, you're not just going to roll into some facility and they're going to give you a craft. If they do anything like that, it's going to be one that they made, and they're going to have a CIA intel whistleblower, you know, like Elizondo, or this guy Grush, who's an NRO intelligence whistleblower. And they're going to do the same dance. You know, why would the intelligence agencies give you UFO disclosure? They don't want to do that. They want to keep the advantage for themselves and their corporate interests. And that gets us into a conversation about what the Central Intelligence Agency is all about and how it was set up. And I'm going to go into that tonight because it's crucial. After all, it was founded in SNC, you know, Sullivan and Cromwell, by some lawyers who were involved in international finance using the architecture of a Nazi general and how he ran his intelligence files. So hardly the model that you would get for transparency of any kind. And what you see is a lot of people around the UFO thing, you know, like I said, hopping on it for reporting reasons without going deeper. And I think it's important, actually, that people do get the right idea about what's going on. And it's great to get more people involved around the UFO file, but you have to do it without coming in through the CIA door or the UFO threat door or the media door, which just makes it like, hey, climate change, the aliens are going to teach us about climate change. You know, so they're going to make you basically a new Netflix series. And this is basically how that will play out. That has nothing to do with actual disclosure. And in fact, it's a very cynical effort that's been devised in the background. So tonight's special report is the UFO campaign 2024, RFK Jr. and Trump, President Trump, real disclosure. Before we go any further, of course, is a big development in the legal issues around President Trump and the feds trying to put him away before he runs away with another presidential election in 2024. So they're putting everything on the line to take down President Trump. And on the other side, they're putting everything, you know, pedal to the metal to get Bobby Kennedy out of the race. And I'm going to show you how they're doing this. The Trump stuff is very immediate and something we've been tracking. You know, if you go back to before this guy was president, I was looking at stuff. He was on the cover of GQ. You know, it was like Success Magazine, Success Inc. They loved Trump back in the day. And as we know, like, you know, the Clintons went to his wedding and all this stuff. And then he became super enemy number one when he got into politics, did the America First thing, got us out of really bad trade deals with China and talked about securing the border. And, you know, so he was representing a certain faction in that deeper structure that had to do with the America First thing, Fortress America, and this whole piece. And, you know, I asked Professor Scott about this. So, of course, I always recommend Professor Scott's Deep State books. So American Deep State is the book that's sitting over there underneath the camera. But American Deep State goes into some depth about this. And one of the things I asked him was, where did that faction come from? And he was telling me that it came out of the American Manufacturers Group. And they were a group that was really obsessed with keeping all the manufacturing in America. And so there's a large story that played out there. But those forces were behind Trump, and he had the edge in 2016. There was also an unspoken piece about Trump's knowledge and access to ideas around aerospace. His advanced knowledge of the UFO file through his uncle, John Trump, is something we've brought out on this program, and it needs to be played into all the things that are happening to him. And I've been trying to go on the record about 2024 in general with the campaign. Both campaigns, as I've been saying since Bobby launched his in April, They both need to get on the UFO file because these disclosures, as I've predicted, the false disclosures are coming out hard and heavy. There's going to be a huge confusion around the UFO file, and it's going to be a major political football in 2024. Both candidates need to get ahead of it. And I see signs already that Bobby Kennedy is taking some of that advice. And the Trump forces need to also go deep on this and show some of that knowledge and expertise. And also remember, Trump was the president. He knows going in about the UFO file, but once in there, he had even more access. This is something he needs to use. And the transparency around the UFO file is going to be a huge issue, because when we come into that 2024 election, you're going to be looking at false disclosure on overdrive, as we're seeing in just this short period of time. We had Gary Nolan, the immunologist who claims to be a contactee and, you know, is suddenly the focus of all these intel pieces. Whenever they talk about the UFO file, they roll this guy out for some reason. Well, Nolan, as we know, is friends with Fauci. I've shown his stuff before, high-fiving Fauci on Twitter. So many people came to me after that who were fans of Nolan and said, that never happened. You lied about that. And then I would send them the Twitter post, and you just wouldn't hear back from them. What do you do? They have to go back and check it, and it's there. You know, I mean, Nolan blocked me, but they can still see it. So, you know, this is the nature of what the thing. It's like a slow realization. It's like, you know, they're going to have that realization in their own mind about it. And it's not my job to deal with the psychological ramifications of you losing your Nolan hero, but that is part of this operation. And there's going to be a lot of people who will build themselves up in a very superficial way around this UFO thing and almost get into kind of a religious thing, you know? So I caught earlier, as I mentioned, the Schellenberger thing was like that. It was a superficial treatment around the UFO thing. And he was like, we can just walk in to these facilities and get these craft. I was told by high-level military sources that there are 14 alien craft. Let me tell you, they have a lot more than 14, and maybe they manufactured a lot more than 14. Okay, so nobody on the intelligence side is going to give you anything, Michael Schellenberger and any of these people. They will not. You're going to have people in threads and whistleblowers and things, and once in a while, you might get lucky and get a particular thread to follow, but they are not going to hand you the UFO file that they've been holding on to for dear life and have killed people and presidents over because you're such a good reporter. It's not going to happen. So I don't know. There's a lot of that going on. I pointed this out before, that there's a kind of an attitude that it develops out of these podcasts and Twitter and, you know, the Rogan show and Eric Weinstein and all that. It's like they can build a, you know, they think they can put together a think tank, an intellectual hierarchy around the UFO file and be, you know, the people who talk about it and copyright this. You know, it's like the Corbell copyright. Every time you see this stupid black and white UFO, we have much better pictures of UFOs than what Corbell puts out there. So we need a whole different conversation about this stuff, and every voice is included. But it doesn't get sectioned off in this way, and it doesn't fall. The first rule is no CIA involvement. I think that's pretty reasonable. The CIA has misled the public for 80 years. Enough is enough, right? So you would completely discount anything that's intel-oriented. And you have so many resources on the ground with civilian organizations, and you might once in a while run across ex-military people, et cetera, but you don't get into this intel game of like, here's my little secret, but, you know, I'm Lou Elizondo and I'm keeping my Penguin book contract, you know, until this comes out. You won't learn. Then you'll understand why I lied so much in the setup. No, you know. So this is a well-funded operation for their kind of disclosure, and it doesn't add up to anything. We need to be straight up with that right off the bat. Everyone, you're watching the Dark Journalist Special Report. Very interesting day here. Friday, June 9th, the indictment against former President Trump, who is now the leading candidate for president, the Republican nomination. We're going to go deep into this. I'm going to read from that indictment and some of the things that are going on there. I also am, you know, coming off the heels of doing the Alex Jones show today. Some of the things that we got into there, I think, are important for the audience out there to grasp. And I'm trying to bring that subject home, that the 2024 election is going to be crucial, of course, in the second part and the UFO file interaction with that. In the second part of tonight's program, we're going to be taking your questions. We're just going to go about 90 minutes tonight, special report mode. In the meantime, Miss Olivia, what's up?
Mark Hovsbian says, what if the top secret docs that Trump was indicted for are UFO related? Will that be, quote, disclosed?
Well, see, that's an excellent point. This is a great question. Now, the Mar-a-Lago documents, it's never actually been specified what the nature of the violation was. As a matter of fact, they've decided not to go after him for the classified document aspect in terms of, is it classified, is it not classified? According to Judge Napolitano, who watches these things pretty closely, he says the legal aspect is focusing much more on the Espionage Act. And if those charges are to add up, the idea being like, oh, Trump made this easy for a foreign power to come and grab these classified files at his Mar-a-Lago compound. Well, that's very hard to prove. And the other thing is, we know for sure that Joe Biden had all these secret documents stuffed into a garage in Delaware, you know, with very little security. So you're going to have to get him too, I guess. No precedent. What do you do in that case? Suspend the election and get the COG Commander Van Herk in there. By the way, he's got a big Roswell connection, so that really fits. But yeah, it's very important to understand the nature of the classified documents. What did he actually have with him? What was the hunt on? What were they looking for? And I don't think we got any of those answers. That indictment started off, they said, oh, there's 7 counts. Now, the latest one I read is 37 counts in the indictment. I mean, this is really absurd and beyond absurd. I'm going to read some of that here tonight as well. And I'm going to show how the UFO file aspect is already active through the campaign, through the figure of Ron DeSantis and his association with Robert Bigelow. And Bigelow is pledging every penny of his entire piggy bank of billions for Bigelow Aerospace behind this guy. And the question has to arise, why? You know, why is Bigelow so obsessed with our friend? What did DeSantis promise him? It's a real good question. We're going to get into that tonight. And like I said, in the second half of the program, we'll take some of your questions with Miss Olivia. You can ask those questions now, and Miss Olivia will put those
in
together.
All caps, please.
How's the temperature out there?
Good. A lot of enthusiasm. A lot of people caught the Alex Jones InfoWars show today.
Fantastic.
And Jay Vandervest said, dark journalist, great interview on Alex Jones today. I think it was even better than the last one. And D.E. Saccone says, whoa, what an interview on InfoWars today. That's one for the ages. Nicely done, Daniel.
Excellent. Wow. Well, it was a blast, to be honest with you. And for me, you know, I think that something special is going on there with that wider awakening around the UFO file that we can steer in the correct direction, which is the UFO file is a huge mystery. The government's been involved in obfuscating that mystery. And they've been doing that for a lot of aerospace companies. And that whole corridor needs to be exposed much more than, you know, some flimsy idea of, hey, this guy says we have trapped craft, you know, and dead alien pilots and stuff. Oh, but he doesn't have any proof, you know. I mean, you could be looking at something that's actually meant to discredit the entire thing. So let's think of that also. A couple of quick things here I wanted to show since I mentioned DeSantis, and then we'll get on to Trump. From financiers to UFO believers, scores of GOP mega donors are flocking to DeSantis, okay? That's how he got into the campaign, and a lot of the money that was coming in, $10 million, $20 million, all from Bigelow. It's quite fascinating indeed. And in this article, they're talking about the, you know, how he was having trouble with his launch, and, you know, he had a disastrous launch and all the rest. But they've been pumping up DeSantis. They think that he's, you know, by destiny going to have the Republican nomination, even though technically he's 40 points behind President Trump when it comes to the actual counting of the votes, which is all that matters. Well, they think they can lock Trump up and just install this Bushite guy who's using a lot of posturing, Trump-style posturing. And, you know, there's no question he did some good things in Florida, but the way he's pursued, you know, in this fashion, at the age of 44, the presidency, when it's very clear it'll be wide open field and he'll be the favorite in 2028, the fact that he needs to jump in shows he's being manipulated into position, and it's not a good sign around DeSantis. Okay, a couple of quick things. None of these problems are shaking the confidence of Robert Bigelow. This is Time Magazine. The hotel tycoon and aeronautics executive. Now, we know him very well because he's the guy who used to own Skinwalker Ranch. He's the guy who runs Bigelow Aerospace, wanted to do hotels in space. He went on 60 Minutes and said aliens are right under our noses. And famously, he's also the one who said that there were firefights with aliens in South America and we lost a lot of people. He never explained where he got that info or what he was talking about. But, you know, he's the kind of guy who could get that kind of info. What was he talking about? I'd still like to know. Robert Bigelow, the hotel tycoon and aeronautics executive who reveals to Time that he is the largest donor by far to Never Back Down, Inc., a super PAC backing DeSantis' unofficial campaign for president. Well, it's official now. It was unofficial during this article. He's also the single largest donor last year to DeSantis' 2022 reelection bid, confirms that he had already donated a little more than $20 million. And he says that's just a start. Now, after this, when I went through some of the donations, I found that he said he would pledge everything and go hungry in order to get DeSantis in. Now, Bigelow wants in on this whole breakaways, breaking back in, that is getting the UFO redeveloped technology out into the public, the stuff that they've been hoarding in the background. And Bigelow is one of the people who set up very well. He's been working on that redevelopment. He had the contracts from Harry Reid, you know, the whole OSAP thing, the phony $22 million thing that they didn't allow out to other contractors. And so in the background, there's been a whole push and pull with him. Now, they had a bunch of people lined up to lay out this UFO technology, X technology piece. And of course, Musk was right in the middle of it with SpaceX. That was crucial. Bigelow Aerospace was a big one. Then it was Branson and, you know, all the things he was going to do with space tourism. They decided, no. And now that's bankrupt. Interestingly enough, he's doing a big undersea thing. So they might be like, hey, you do the Discover Atlantis thing. We'll send Musk up into space and they get their bases covered. And then the other guy, of course, is our friend Blue Origin, you know, Mr. Moon guy, Jeff Bezos, who owns the Washington Post, Amazon, Whole Foods, you name it. This guy is right in the middle of it. And so he's the other one who's in the middle of all this. But they're looking to roll all this stuff out and not explain what happened to the 50 years in between the manned moon missions and now. And of course, they've been talking about this Artemis mission, which is the first woman in space and all this kind of stuff. And they definitely have a plan for going back to the moon now, although they keep moving that date back. Pence originally, when the Trump administration was in office, said this stuff was happening for sure with NASA in 2024. And now they're like, well, you know, Biden administration's like, no, maybe it's only 2026, 2027. And they'll keep backing that up, I'm sure, as we go. But watching Bigelow's transformation is interesting. One other line from this article, I think, gives us a clue. One time Trump enthusiast Bigelow says he could no longer stand behind the former president after the January 6th attack on the Capitol. He lost me as a supporter, blah, blah, blah. And then they talk about Alvin Bragg and that whole thing. Now, that's fine. He can turn on Trump. And, you know, there's no reason for him to hang out on Trump if he doesn't agree with his policies anymore. But the incredible, you know, I'll eat tuna fish and like give my billions to DeSantis is a lot different than just switching your support. There's something going on there. And since we know Bigelow is Mr. UFO there hanging out in New Mexico and Nevada, and that our friend DeSantis is on the Space Coast, watch for a big crisscross there. You've got UFO money right now in the middle of the 2024 election. The Trump campaign can't be shy about bringing in what they know about the UFO file, making it front and center, talking about it. Bobby Kennedy has gone on the record and he said some good things. Now he's out there talking about the UFO thing. This is good because the Bobby Kennedy presidency is the thing they probably fear the most right next to Trump, which is why they're trying to put Trump in prison. Bobby Kennedy carries the legacy and the knowledge and also the history of ex-Protect assassinating his uncle and his dad. And there's a whole Howard Hughes aerospace redux piece in there with Hughes too in Musk. So this gets very tricky. And we know that Musk, right out of the gate during campaign 2024, the person that he got on first in spaces, and that's crucial, first counts, even though they had technical issues, was DeSantis. It was not Bobby. He did host Bobby later, but, you know, later is later. All right, so I'm going to move in and read some of the Bobby Kennedy part. Before I go any further, Olivia, you're up.
Auntie Social says, how did Trump and RFK Jr. address the UFO file without any proof?
Oh, well, I mean, they have the means and the resources to get proof. But approaching it is first use the bully pulpit of bringing it out. So Trump was great for this in 2016. He brought the JFK assassination piece out in his battle with Ted Cruz. He brought the 9/11 attacks out in his battle with Jeb Bush. He was not holding back. That broke the dam of so many of these subjects. It's a short memory, but, you know, in that period, like around 2016, you really couldn't talk about the JFK assassination or, you know, 9/11 in a political campaign, never. But Trump was just arrogant enough to bring these things to the fore, and it helped. I think it made a big difference. Now we've got some other interesting things in the background, because the person who's running Bobby Kennedy's campaign, at least in this early stage, I hope it gets a little more muscle as the campaign goes along, is Dennis Kucinich, the former congressman. One of the things that he's famous for is bringing up UFOs in a presidential debate that he was in. So no slouch there on the UFO file. Bobby has a lot on his shoulders with this, because the Democratic Party has gone so far over the cliff, and he's dedicated as a Kennedy to pull that party back, but also to deal with the entire country. So it's almost an impossible task that he set for himself. But when you think of the mold of RFK and JFK that's behind him, and the incredible things that he's achieved in his own life and as an environmental lawyer, his campaign is historic. And if anyone can pull it off, RFK Jr. can. So we're in the middle of that. Now, here's an interesting development in that campaign, which is on June 20th in New Hampshire. There's going to be a speech, a foreign policy speech, and it is going to be on the anniversary of the speech that President Kennedy gave to American University, but some 60 years later. Now, many people have said that it was this speech, along with other things, that got President Kennedy killed, because he went outside the State Department and didn't get the speech approved. And he talked about how we need to reexamine our attitudes towards the world, not try to force the world through a Pax Americana with American weapons of war. All the things that the military-industrial complex, that machine which is still running things, get $1 trillion a year, that's on the record. God knows what's off the record. You know, for every $1, supposedly there's $3 off the record. So, you know, Kennedy was putting us on a different footing, and he said we must reexamine our attitudes towards Russia. In the final analysis, you know, we can't afford to let ourselves win the victory, where even the fruits, win a war where even the fruits of victory will be ashes in our mouth. Well, that's really putting it where it is. And Kennedy understood war. He'd been in war. So they looked at that speech on the CIA side and that deep state side, and they just said, you know, that's the end for Kennedy. That and Kennedy's reach into the UFO file and wanting to share it with the Russians, you know, this, that crisscross there with NASA, deep NASA, and that whole paperclip piece attached to the space program. And they got together and removed Kennedy and installed their guy, Senator NASA, as LBJ was called, and he gave them all the deep state victories that they needed, including the green light to go into Vietnam, and really laid out the course for the country in a totally backward direction. But Robert Kennedy grabbing this anniversary and doing the speech 60 years later is signaling where his foreign policy would be coming from, as he has signaled he would get us out of Ukraine and start a peace process. He does not believe in the Ukraine war. And it's very important, I think, that we understand the stakes of what happens if we don't get either Bobby or Trump in the next election. This is no time for the kind of cynicism that you hear around the presidential races, that whoever gets in, it doesn't matter. Well, oddly enough, this time it doesn't. You know, it seriously does. And so that speech is going to be important, and that kicks off the foreign policy end of this. Now, they've been going after Robert Kennedy. They're starting to raise little things like his dating history. Oh, he kept a little black book where he was dating all these women and all this stuff. Now they have a new one, which is Robert Kennedy Jr. says he has conversations with dead people. That's right. So they misconstruing things that he's talking about, where he says, oh, you know, I have a meditation practice and, you know, all these types of things. So they're looking for any sort of little excuses they can get their hands on to make this happen.
Well, they just want to call him crazy.
Yes. Fringe.
And well, he's a crazy anti-vaxxer, right? Like, right, that's it.
Exactly. And how accurate his book has turned out about, you know, the real Dr. Fauci, which is an amazing indictment of this official who, you know, led basically the COVID op. And, you know, that takes a lot of guts. So all the things that, you know, considered when we look at Bobby Kennedy, we have a real someone who's really shown a lot of mettle in the political arena. And I think that's crucial, because we're so lucky to have Bobby Kennedy out there running for president. And we're lucky to have Trump standing strong against this deep state. Also, the deep state wants them both. They want to stop Bobby and they want to put Trump in jail. And that's something that we can help turn around. Everyone, you're watching Dark Journalist Special Report. This is the UFO File Campaign 2024, RFK Jr., Trump, and real. I'm talking real disclosure, not phony CIA grush disclosure, not Lou Elizondo TTSA nonsense disclosure, you know, not Chris Mellon, you know, Mellon banking family disclosure, you know. And it's great because, you know, John Warner IV, who is the son of Catherine Mellon and John Warner, the senator, the late senator, he's Chris Mellon's cousin. We've had him on the program many times. He's coming back on the program. But, you know, he went right on Twitter, as he's known to do, busting the joint up and responding when Chris Mellon's putting out this thing like, it's a great time for disclosure in these agencies and all this stuff. And, you know, John wasn't having a whole lot of that. He went right in there and is busting the joint up. And I'll tell you, that kind of truth is exactly the spirit that we need to get rid of this stuff, because we have to show the collusion going on with these breakaways, breaking back in with the technology that they stole from the American people in this secret process. And now they're rolling it out, and they have the secret space infrastructure they've been creating over the past 50 years. Well, we haven't sent anyone back to the moon, even though we spent tons on the space program. You know, they've been putting this thing together. And frankly, Musk is part of that. And Musk, if he's going to be someone who's going to be transparent, he's going to have to own up to all this. You know, what about the whole DARPA CIA connection to SpaceX and Starlink? I mean, you know, are they setting you up to be a space president? So we're going to have to get real about Elon and, you know, the fact that there have been some improvements in free speech on Twitter is a good thing. There's no question about it. But, you know, as we saw today, when I went to post Alex's link from band.video on Twitter, oh, it's a dangerous thing. You can't do it. So how free is that? You know, how free is free after all? Is free speech or not? Good question, Elon. Let's see if you can answer that one. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. This was an important thing that happened in the middle of all this hubbub around UFOs firing around. He went on the record and he said, remember, UFOs were the very essence of conspiracy theory. The term was practically invented for it. People who spoke out were ridiculed and their careers destroyed. Our government did that. This is someone who gets it. You know, he's saying more there about the UFO file than Trump has. Let's not forget, Trump knows a great deal about this. But I think it's important that we lay it out there in relation to Bobby, that he put that there, because we have, as part of the Deep X research, the fact that the groups in X Protect and Dulles, who John Kennedy fired because he knew that they were trying to get him into a war with Cuba and were conducting illegal operations, he fired them at great risk to himself, that whole branch of CIA that was engaged in this, and the people associated with Dulles. That was an incredible house cleaning. And it's a historical moment. And, you know, they in their turn took their revenge. Before I leave the Kennedy subject and go to the Trump piece, and, you know, we want to put on the record, as I do, and I'm going to fire this clip around again. We'll take another clip of this with Douglas Caddy and fire this around, because I feel that Caddy still hasn't got his due. He's the Watergate lawyer who put on the record that E. Howard Hunt, who was his best friend, told him in private before he went to prison that Kennedy was assassinated over the UFO file. That is crucial. It's historic, and it needs to be part of any piece of disclosure. You know, when they have these hearings and stuff, and they're like, we need more money to study UFOs. Here's something you can study right away. What kind of processes were in place? Was there a group inside the government that I call X Protect that was destroying reputations and assassinating leaders who were trying to open up the UFO file? That's real disclosure, you know, not, oh, we might have had 12 alien craft in a hangar, you know, too bad we couldn't get them, but this guy said they were there, you know. That doesn't really help. Caddy has stuck to his guns since he revealed this some 7 years ago. And, you know, he was there. He's the lawyer for the Watergate 7. And he went on the record saying E. Howard Hunt had said this. And it's crucial because Hunt is that figure who was the top CIA spymaster agent for the country in the 60s and the late 50s. So this was someone in a position to know. Why would he tell Caddy that in private? You know, it wasn't for broadcast or anything like that. It just so happened that Caddy remembered it, kept it with him for 30 years. And then finally he said, I knew it was important. One other thing about Kennedy's, he's giving a speech there up in New Hampshire recently. And to show you like the level that this guy's on, Kennedy ended his speech by recounting the 1960s obedience experiments by Yale psychologist Stanley Milgram, which were funded by the National Science Foundation, but which Kennedy said, without offering evidence, were actually part of the CIA's mind control research program. They certainly were. He was previously attributed the claim to University of Wisconsin historian Alfred McCoy, and McCoy knew all about this and did a splendid book in 1976 about it. In the experiments, college students were asked by a man in a lab coat to shock people in an adjoining room at increasing levels of electricity, even though no shocks were actually administered. An actor on the other side of the wall would scream in pain to suggest a result. The experiments found that about two-thirds of the test subjects were willing to put a stranger's life in danger at the instruction of an authority figure. It's crucial. About one-third refused to do as they were told. It occurred to me many times during the pandemic, said Kennedy, that we're in the middle of a huge Milgram experiment. The people in this room, that's the 33%. For the people who didn't walk out, our job is to continue to fight for their freedom until they wake up out of this trance. Now, that's the Kennedy knowledge base. This guy understands what they were doing with the COVID op. So it makes a great case that Kennedy would be able to straighten out so much in this country and the world. And that needs to be uppermost in our thoughts as we go forward here. Everyone, you're watching The Dark Journalist Show. This is the special report, UFO file campaign, RFK Jr., President Trump, real disclosure. How about that? We're going to be taking your questions here shortly. And it's been a momentous day, as I mentioned. Earlier today, I was on the Alex Jones Show talking about the UFO file. Alex was very gracious to have me on there. And as I said, you know, knows a great deal about the subject. So I expect more conversations and those conversations to continue at the level and the depth that he can go. And that's somebody who really has put a lot on the line as well and is still banned by all the social media networks and heavily sued by everyone else. And we need that kind of, you know, skin in the game and backbone when it comes to this kind of reporting. That's what dark journalism is. You can't have dark journalism without really putting things out there, which is why we resist CIA UFO disclosure piece, because when I look at that CIA piece and the things that they've been pushing, we know that they're developing through the media a narrative about a UFO threat, and that that threat is going to be used to incite a continuity of government program where they already have it laid out, how they would assign regional governors, suspend the Constitution, suspend the elections. They already have Stepford Biden in there, barely able to conduct himself in the office of presidency. He's falling over. I mean, it's a disaster for our country. And, you know, it looks terrible on the world stage. But what's going on in the background with the committee that's controlling this Frankenstein experiment is even worse. So, you know, the kind of transparency that we get in the next election is going to be very important. And I think everything is coming together. And trust me, as I've been putting out there, the UFO file disclosure piece, as you can see, has been ramping up and is going to be central in that 2024 election. Absolutely. All right. President Trump. What are they doing to President Trump? Let's find out. Trump is important in this sense, which is he has been very strong against these people, and he has taken on the deep state as an enemy. Trump's not perfect, and he wasn't a perfect president, but he didn't get us into any wars. He held out a real hardcore, strong border policy, which is crucial. Other presidents weren't doing that. Now we see people streaming in from the country. You know, and I was saying to Olivia, there was an incident just recently where Bobby Kennedy went to the border in Arizona, and he went and talked to the 150 people who streamed over just while he showed up. And he was like, they were from Thailand, you know, they were from Vietnam. Like, it wasn't even like it was a Mexico and Mexican Central American migration. It was all these people who were coming from various parts of Asia and the Middle East. So the Biden administration is just allowing that, and they're allowing our borders to flood because they want the United States to sink into this morass of non-identity and fail, because they have set up the world in zones. That's what the Davos crowd has laid out. And in that kind of globalist scene, they just consider this the North American economic zone. They want to merge it with the fascist leadership of Canada through Trudeau, who is failing that country terribly, and I hope they throw him out. And, you know, all the cartels and the things and the recklessness going on in Mexico, they just want to be like, you know, and forget about that constitution. Bunch of guys wrote that 250 years ago. That doesn't mean anything. We're the ones now. We have the AI. We have the technology. Not so fast. Not so fast. I want to say this about Trump, though. These policies that he put in place, first of all, gave us over a 4% growth in the economic rate. Everyone knows that Trump is great at running a business, and the United States is broke right now, and it is experiencing tremendous inflation and other food pressures and everything else. This is a guy who could turn that around, and everyone knows it. That's what Trump should be running on. And they're trying to distract him and all the rest of it. But, you know, Trump is about success. And the people who are controlling the Trump campaign should be running on his success. Now, they're doing a great job in some sense because, you know, he's up in the polls. He's beating Biden by 12 points in the most recent poll. I guess it's a good reason to think about hauling him to jail, isn't it? And he is beating DeSantis by 39 points, practically 40 points. So the DeSantis campaign really going down. In order to win on a normal basis, if they don't drag him off to prison through this hoax of a indictment, then in order to win, he's going to have to stress that economic, you know, and keeping the peace the way that he has. And those are two things that he has a perfect record on. He came out yesterday when the indictment hit and said, you know, I'm innocent and this is a witch hunt, and the things that he's known to do, and that he's going to fight it. Very interesting painting behind him there, Teddy Roosevelt, and meeting with Wilhelm there in Germany. And maybe there's a story, a deeper story for why he did it with that painting. We'll look into that for sure. Interestingly enough, as I said, despite this incredible fundraising boost for DeSantis, it is actually Trump who is creaming DeSantis in donations and campaign financing. So, and this is somebody who's in a position to win an election. What they're trying to do is install DeSantis, and he does not have the popular support in order to be installed. So this is a real train wreck going on the Republican side. And, you know, if you let the voters speak, they're going to choose Trump on the Republican side. That's just all there is to it in those polls. These people on the legal side who are trying to weaponize the Justice Department think they can change that. And they've taken the unprecedented action of indicting a former president, which has never happened. Even when we had presidents, you know, they had all kinds of things on Nixon and Clinton. Come on. They've never used it. And what they've used on Trump is, you know, the most basic stuff in the world. Your payoffs to Stormy Daniels, you know, a box of which contains documents which he could have classified or unclassified, like it's not quite clear. Here are the charges and how many years Trump faces in the federal Mar-a-Lago indictment. He faces 100 years in prison. Do you think that shows where these people are coming from? On what planet is that fair? So they're just doubling down, tripling down. The next thing is, if this one doesn't work, they'll have a J6 one, you know, and they'll just keep pulling rabbits out of the hat until the country says, look, stop using the Justice Department to publicly go after your political enemies. It's fascist, it's anti-American, and it's what we've come to know from the Biden administration. And, you know, Biden at some point is going to, the whole Biden administration is going to reap the whirlwind from that. There's no question about it. Here's the indictment. This is some of it from the Hill. Now, they have 31 counts was one of the things that came out. Originally, they said seven. Now it's 37. So I don't know how this thing continues to grow, but let's see if that's just in the news. Trump is facing 31 counts on the Espionage Act alone. Okay. The Espionage Act is what they tried to use. They have only executed it a couple of times in our entire history since 1917. Okay. This comes out of World War I hardcore legislation of Woodrow Wilson when there were anarchists who didn't want to get involved with World War I. Who can blame them? And what happened was they enacted this thing about espionage. They put this espionage clause in there, and then the Obama administration dusted it off, not George W. Bush, you know, not Reagan, not Clinton, but it was the Obama administration said, we can use this to punish our enemies in the media. And in fact, this is the thing that they're trying to punish Julian Assange over. Those are the charges against him. So think about that. Trump is facing 31 counts on the Espionage Act alone, with a breakdown of the documents detailing most of them dealt with intelligence collected on foreign countries or American military capabilities. The law prohibits improper retention of national defense information. Let me tell you, Obama left office with over a million documents. Are you telling me there is not one document in anything that Obama took? Come on. They're still trying to get documents and tapes back from Nixon. Okay. I mean, they're in court over this. And whenever you hear about, you know, oh, there's a wonderful tape that got released that the president, you know, got from those, that Nixon family is still holding on to that corrupt stuff. Well, look, when they get stuff from those tapes, they often, the government itself does the redacting around it. Okay. So they're the ones that have kept the secret around the Nixon piece. And they know that's just the way it's done up there. Let's go a little bit further. In his first public appearance following the indictments, unsealed, special counsel Jack Smith encouraged people to read the filing in full to understand the scope and gravity of the crimes charged. This guy is a UN prosecutor. He's lived abroad for 10 years in the Netherlands, and he's been used in all these weird tribunals. This is not somebody you would get to prosecute an American case here. And he's also someone who is stepping into the middle of this and making it like, you know, a personal kind of thing, because his wife now makes movies with Michelle Obama for Netflix. It's a complete conflict of interest. He should be thrown off the case immediately. Donald Trump has been charged with 37 counts in relation to the mishandling of records at Mar-a-Lago, as well as his efforts to block the government from recovering the documents. An indictment unsealed by the Justice Department Friday underscores the high-level material the former president kept after leaving office, the times he improperly shared it without those clearances, and the extent he sought to block any efforts to retrieve them. One of the things in the indictment says that reflects on his bad attitude. Are you going to start sending people to federal prison for bad attitude now? That's good with Trump, too. If you're going to look for examples of bad attitude in Trump's history, you're going to be able to indict him forever. You know, you can't indict someone for a bad attitude. It's ridiculous. And the other things that they're trying to do here is they floated immediately through Rachel Maddow, the $30 million a year liar for MSNBC. And you know, the whole war machine, she's always out there out front on that. We got to get those, that Ukraine war going, you know, we have to get those Russians. And, they've become insane over there on MSNBC. It's all about, you know, the weird way, it's just like a weird savage session to go after Putin in every episode. It's nothing about peace. What happened to the Democrats? You know, weren't they usually about peace and the environment and stuff? Now they're like, we're gonna kill him. It seems kind of cast against type. Could it be that the neocons got in there and took over that party? Yeah, that's exactly what happened. So that's the nature of the thing. Now, I wanted to put this across too, which is Rachel Maddow floated this idea that Trump, if he took a deal of not to run and to promise not to run ever again, that maybe they would give him a pardon, you know? So when you see that kind of stuff out there, you know, it's a planted trial balloon to see, oh, are they going to pick up on this, you know? And can we scare Trump enough out of the election? So they want to defy the people's will for the second time in an election. They did it in 2020. This is the way they want to do it this time, even though Trump at this point is way ahead. Now, whether you want to vote Republican, Independent, Democrat, Green Party, doesn't matter. Anyone should be on that ballot without the kind of interference from fascist Justice Department or anything else. And if they have never gone after any other sitting president, why do they break all precedents to go after this one? You have to ask that and answer it. And the only answer is that they have a fascist desire to take a particular candidate out of the running because they're afraid he'll win. And that is the, you know, rule of the government by, and the election process by, the central intelligence and national security state. That's not how you run a country. That's, you know, that's a fascist banana republic. But what I think can happen in this case is the more people expose it, the less, you know, the more that it's going to backfire. Now, what we do see coming out of it is there's a lot of fundraising that has gone on for Trump, and his numbers always seem to get this tremendous boost. So in a weird way, I've always said this about Trump, whenever they go after him hardcore, it seems like there's some weird quality inside of a Trump that has an energy that is almost like jujitsu, that the more they come after him, the bigger he gets. And but it gets to a level when they're talking about prison and all that, you know, if they assigned him a sentence, you know, at 76 years old, it's basically a death sentence. And that's probably what they're after here. A couple of things hanging out in the background of that deep state 2024 UFO file battle campaign election. And let me tell you, Bobby Kennedy and Trump are right in the middle of it. Those are the ones I want to focus on. And like I said, with DeSantis, the UFO file is already engaged here. The money engine is engaged through Bigelow. You know, it's a lot. That's a lot of money to burn. But the Biden piece, they're going to have to sort out on the Democrat side. I think that they think they can hold on to Biden long enough for him to just walk past the Oval Office and into, you know, into the White House. If they can get him through, and then like he's done, you know, whoever his VP is will take over. But there are forces inside that party who don't trust that process. and have been maneuvering around it. Now, they're worried that Bobby Kennedy is going to get the edge. And in the first two contests now, Bobby Kennedy is saying that in New Hampshire and Iowa, the Biden administration is not going to run Joe Biden, and the DNC won't allow him to run, and they won't allow debates and all the rest of it. So what they're doing is, when it comes to a real campaign and real primaries and stuff, they're just removing President Biden because they're afraid of, you know, a dementia freak out. And he was remarkably low numbers the last time he ran in the election in New Hampshire. He got 8% of the vote, and Bernie Sanders got 38. Do the math there. Bobby Kennedy is going to run in New Hampshire and in Iowa, and he's going to win both. So that's the situation that they're going to be faced with. So they have to find another way to take down Bobby Kennedy. And what they're hoping is that just the iron fist of the DNC ruling that primary process means Kennedy can't get in no matter what. Well, it's very interesting. That's a risky strategy. I think if that strategy starts to fail, you'll see a replacement on the Democratic ticket. And I wouldn't be surprised at all. Everyone, you're watching The Dark Journalist special report here. We're going to do about another half hour with you. It's great to be here with so many of you after our Wednesday report, and then today earlier with Alex Jones on his InfoWars show. And Alex was a gracious host. Interesting things, I think, came out of that interview as well. I was happy to be there. Before I go any further, Miss Olivia, you're up.
Opinions are flying by. Frankie Torres says, do you think that Trump's indictment and the whistleblower on UFOs are a distraction from the true story of Biden corruption?
Yeah, well, that's another thing, which is all this Biden bribery stuff is hitting. Also, finally, the Speaker of the Republican Congress, you know, McCarthy, has finally threatened the FBI director and said, give us the stuff. You have all this stuff. And the FBI director, Ray, was like, oh, we don't have to share that with you. So finally, McCarthy got tough with him and said, I'll indict you if you don't. I'll subpoena you and all this stuff. And I'll hold you in contempt. And so now they're showing signs of giving it up. There are signs that we're looking at a Biden collapse, and there are forces inside of that, including Gavin Newsom, I'm sorry to say, because nobody wants to deal with Newsom, gruesome Newsom. And his, I can you know, call martial law if I want to, politics down there in California. No, you can't. Check the Constitution. But I think it's interesting that we need to look at this UFO file piece arising in the middle of all this. So the sequence of events, as I laid out in the Wednesday episode, but which kind of come into focus when we talk about the election here, is that we had the NASA UFO hearing. And it was basically kind of a fishing expedition to feel things out and for them to say, we need more money and that kind of thing. But they did, there was a faction in there that debunked the TTSA Go Fast video. And the funny thing is that the Go Fast video that they hung their hat on saying, hey, you know, we smuggled this thing out of the Defense Department, and NASA proved that the craft that they were tracking was only going 40 miles an hour. So that whole thing is a disgraced operation. There was a UFO get-together thing at Contact in the Desert in California during the week and last weekend into this week. And apparently, you know, from going to kind of a mainline event, that thing has, they've dropped to half capacity, and they really, you know, that stuff is looking tired, as is a lot of the old UFO reporting. And what's happening is that these major stories are coming up, and that organization of people can't hold it. It's a different paradigm, because what they're looking to do now, some of those older UFO researchers, just be vindicated by the fact that, hey, they're talking about UFOs, and they're not looking at the UFO invasion by the CIA. So the whole idea that the intelligence agencies are taking over the topic and that they are have the talking points for the public and just forget about it, you know, the UFO researchers have all forgotten that. So the field is collapsing under that, and they're just becoming lapdogs, where they should be guard dogs, you know, for the entire thing. I've watched that take place. I've talked to some of the people involved, and their reasoning is absurd. All the normal reasoning has gone out the window. And I've even had a chance to ask them, like, do you really think the UFO file, like, you'll get the truth from CIA people? And they're like, this CIA? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. You know, I mean, so that's the level of craziness. And I remember during a kind of frenzy of a few years ago, some of these very same people got in touch with me and said, oh, you'll be made to look foolish if you're against these TTSA people. So, you know, this is the weird way that they've whipped them up. But I cite it, even though, you know, you're talking about the UFO thing and, you know, people can take it or leave it, you know, or make fun of it, whatever it happens to be. But the truth is that the UFO researchers who had a good track record and had a good history had a real chance to shine here as a wall of information, as a wall of ethics against the deep state operation that took over the UFO file publicly. And they still have that opportunity. Unfortunately, it's largely eluding them, you know. And what you're getting instead is that it takes people who are almost on the cynical side, people who didn't believe in the subject in the first place, they're asking the right questions around the op. And so, you know, this is a weird thing where the old skeptics who were wrong, you know, and who have blocked any kind of real UFO disclosure through the cynicism, never really looked at the facts. Those people on the cynical skeptic side, they're asking more of the right questions about, hey, where is this guy, you know, how is this guy any different from any of the other people who've gone on the record and said, oh, I saw all this stuff, but they can't prove any of it. So, you know, what we have is the real UFO file, the real craft, the real experiences that people have, the incredible mystery around the whole thing, including the apotheum effects that I feel that they've guarded inside of, because that X technology resides in the UFO file. So these are the reasons for the intense secrecy around it. So there's an incredible mystery there, and it's intergenerational now. You know, at this point, in terms of conversation around, you know, it's been going on for 80 years. We know in human history, it's been going on for thousands. So, you know, for me, there's the real mystery there. But then there's the co-opting and the infiltrating of the thing and then turning it into a UFO threat. And we're right in the middle of that. And as you can see with the levers of power, they're able to rifle a story like that and make it go viral without anybody doing the checks and balances on any of it. And it was funny because one of the things I wanted to note about the Contact in the Desert piece, you know, was that you'd think, okay, there's a couple of people there who in the past have done pretty decent work on the UFO thing. And when this thing came in, they reviewed it for a half hour. This was, you know, Grush's thing saying, oh, you know, I think there were dead pilots. I heard that there were dead alien pilots. And I complained to the inspector general saying that I've been treated badly because I tried to get to the bottom of this when I was part of the UAP task force. This guy's whole thing is just a real complete op from beginning to end. It's amazing. And I can show you, I'm going to actually show you how this works. But those researchers who only had a half hour to review that stuff instantly got on board with it. They said, oh, this is the greatest thing. We've just made history. We were vindicated. This is a problem. This is a real problem, because what happened was the intelligence agency starved that field out of any, you know, they didn't give them the ability in society to thrive on the idea that they were working and doing diligent research on the UFO topic. So there was no prestige involved with it. And what happened is that these people became desperate for that. So now they're being vindicated by the same CIA that held them down and held the whole subject down, and they're going for it. And they're saying, yeah, you know, high five me. You know, we're here at this historic moment. Let's hold hands and all this stuff. That's CIA disclosure. It has nothing to do with reality. And what you're doing actually is you're feeding what's left of the people who are following you into the lion's mouth of the Central Intelligence Agency that you said during your whole career was holding the truth back. So it's very strange, the whole development there. And in a way, for me, it's like the Twilight Zone. I've pointed out before that it feels maybe more like Invasion of the Body Snatchers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so forget about this UFO field that's out there. What you can have is a UFO file research field, and that can be very vibrant and bring forward the real mystery and the real truth around thing. That's exciting. And I think we can, we've started, the process in this show, the work of Gigi Young, Dr. Joseph Farrell and others, the real thing. Let's get to the real thing. Okay. We have that opportunity. Miss Olivia, go for it.
Jason K says, CITD, suspiciously well-timed with a Grush debrief story Monday afternoon. Skunk5 says, this latest, quote, disclosure just stinks of a CIA psyop. I just don't trust it at all. Johann Wolf says, Grush was definitely, quote, in portrayal during his interview. Very clearly speaking prepared lines there. And Mark Hovsepian says, this whistleblower hasn't said anything that Philip Corso didn't say 45 years ago.
This is a great point. And this is a point that Alex made, and it was right on the money, actually. This is fascinating because, you get these people and you get like Schellenberger and stuff who don't know anything about it. They might be good researchers and good journalists. Don't get me wrong, but they don't know anything about this topic. And so when they march in, they sit there and they start talking about how history was made and wow, we're in a different, you know, we're in a different paradigm now and all this stuff. I would love for those things to be true. They're not. This is just more CIA twaddle. They haven't given you anything. Have they shown you, have they given you a craft or dead alien? No, you just have one guy talking about it and the people behind him, his lawyer is the top cop inside of the intelligence community. It's the inspector general for the intelligence community. That's his lawyer. Okay, so you're getting pure CIA. You don't get any more pure strain of CIA than that. So what are you talking about? You're getting CIA disclosure. I mean, wise up. So there's a big problem there with this because nobody is telling people about this because on one hand, you have people like Schellenberger who don't know any better. And then you have the CIA people pushing the op and the people that they've co-opted along the way. And that was a slow process in the background. I heard about a lot of that co-opting process. But then you have the other people who just want to jump on board because they don't want to say, well, I studied this thing for 30 years and nothing happened. You know, it's one of the things that Dolan said was before the TTSA came along, he gave the same speech every year, but nothing ever happened. Well, I'm sorry, Dolan. I'm sorry if your speeches weren't inspiring enough to change the entire paradigm. But that doesn't mean you should jump on board with a phony CIA-run TTSA thing. You know, the logic escapes me completely, you know, and their big thing is take the win. You know, I don't want the CIA win. I want the truth, you know, so I'm not going to take the win. who would take the win for that, you know? So, you know, it eventually I'd probably dawn on them as well. But because it's so dangerous, the way that they've laid this out for the public, you know, on this show, we're going to make a very strong point of it. And we're going to expose the Central Intelligence Agency meddling and taking over the UFO file for the threat operation. And what's that for? That's for emergency powers, because that goes into the continuity of government program. This is something that, you know, like I've said many times, if you think the COVID op was something, wait till they get to the UFO threat op, you know, and all the signs are there. That's the way the media talks about it. Everyone, you're watching the Dark Journalist Show. This is our special report, the UFO file and the 2024 campaign, RFK Jr. and Trump, real disclosure, not CIA disclosure, the real thing. We're going to be taking your questions here now in about 1 minute. I have a couple of quick things to lay out before I go any further. You're up.
Okay, Ms. Olivia. We've got a heckler. And I want you to address this question.
All right.
Okay, so this is from Sopranos Fan 11. Uh-huh. Let's never trust anything anymore. Let's never have disclosure because it will always be a deception. Let's never go anywhere. Just have paranoid podcasts for the rest of our lives. I know that, you know, some people feel that way. Can you address what real disclosure would look like and is how that, we can all work together to achieve that?
Is that Leslie Kane out there using a sock puppet? Well, first of all, you have to be able to call things out. So, you know, I'm sorry that the CIA is ruining your dreams by giving you a false, UFO threat, but that doesn't mean that, you know, they've proven anything. They haven't. They haven't even given you evidence. So in fact, some guy named Grush, who by the way is retired at the age of 36 from the military, and is now a real estate agent in his 50s, right? He's saying all this stuff. He hasn't given you any proof. Now, the subject matter, remember, is about co-opting. So if you know anything about the Central Intelligence Agency, they do a lot of astroturfing, meaning, oh, okay, so we've been studying this field. This field is interested in and has done good research on crash retrievals. It's done good research in relation to alien experiences and all the rest of it. We can use that and we can say, aha, you know, we're giving you this disclosure that this stuff has happened. There have been, you know, Philip Corso was somebody that came up. Well, in the late 90s, he came forward and said, I ran the alien technology through the Foreign Technology Office and we gave it to different companies and they developed this, 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 and this. I think Velcro was one of the things we discovered through the alien tech. Now, you can take Corso seriously or not, but he was where he said he was, and he was heavily attacked, in fact, for bringing that information out. So, you know, the idea is, do you want a good emotional feeling or do you want the truth? You have to ask yourself that question honestly. The truth may elude you until you drill down and get to the bottom of it. The emotional feeling that the media and the CIA can give you is readily available. You can plug right into it, but it's not real. So that's a very big problem. So if the question is, have these people proven any of their claims? See, this is interesting because we have a large history of people who have gone on the record, from Betty and Barney Hill, honest people who were deep in the UFO file, and they gave us their claims. And so a lot of this field of UFO research is based on claims of good people and the things that have happened. But you also, we believe in the UFO file. We believe in a lot of the claims of the people who've come forward. The work of John Mack, who was the Harvard professor who got shellacked by the very same media that's on board with this UFO threat now. So you have to have that context of history. You can't see things. You're always be looking through a glass darkly and trying to get that nice emotional punch out of it. So the way to get real disclosure is to go for the truth and to find those leaders also who are interested in transparency around the UFO file. It can be done. There's no question about it. A great deal has come out already, which is, I think, part of the reason that the national security state and the intelligence agencies are creating and, you know, such a speeding up of this entire process, because they need to act with some speed here, because the whole process is catching up with them. They're the ones who are about to be exposed for the crime of hiding this stuff and the technology involved and the crimes that they've committed through Exprotect, silencing the people involved. So if you get into the good, giddy kind of disclosure thing, in a weird way, you have to say to yourself that you're aiding their weird operation. And then you have to say, do I want to be doing that? What have they really proven? Absolutely nothing. I can tell you that, because even the people who are waving flags around this thing are like, well, it would be nice to have some proof with it. Yeah, you think? speaking of non-proof, let's go to Gary Nolan. Okay. Gary Nolan claims that he was a paper boy and that he was throwing his paper and he looked up at the moon because the moon was still out there in the morning and he saw a UFO. The whole thing sounds like E.T. I always think of the picture of the kid riding the bike through the moon. So anyway, he grew up to be an immunologist at Stanford University, and he's over there saying that, oh, I've analyzed people's brains who've had these encounters because the CIA asked me to. And now this guy has a decades-long history with the CIA. And highly respected Stanford scientist confirms non-human intelligence has visited Earth. No one came out and said that at the SALT conference. Well, you might think SALT is like, you know, maybe a science conference. No, it's a venture finance, venture capital conference. This guy's out there trying to raise venture capital for his claims. But he is one in a long line of CIA people who claim to be contactees, including John Ramirez and Jim Semivan and others. That's a whole wave. That's a whole data mining operation. And also, for people who have sent me emails about this and stuff, I'm going to show you this again. This is the last time I'm going to show it. This is Gary Nolan shouting out his friend, Dr. Fauci, on Twitter. It's readily available on his Twitter, even though he has me blocked. Thank you, Dr. Fauci, for your tremendously positive contributions to immunology and virology. Now, do you think Dr. Fauci is someone to trust with the UFO file? Think about that. Well, that's Gary Nolan's story. Okay. We had the gang who Nolan is supposed to be in the lineage of, and that was the whole TTSA gang. The person in the suit there is very interesting because that's Chris Mellon, who, you know, is one of the heirs to the banking family, the Mellon family, who, like I've said, his cousin has come on this program calling out the UFO threat aspect he's involved in. In the middle, of course, is Lou Elizondo. He's the guy who for 5 years pretended to be leading a program and that he was a disgruntled whistleblower and so on. And the guy to his right is Tom DeLonge, of course, who was the Bobo in that operation. So that whole thing turned out, even though they made all the same claims and all the rest of it, turned out to be a complete fraud. It was a CIA fraud. It had the help of the media, but it was a fraud nonetheless. So, you know, when we see the sequence of events of how these things are happening, it's kind of, you know, enough to wake us up a little bit. The Nolan thing came on May 18th. After that, we had the NASA thing. In the middle there, we had Corbell and Knapp, and they were setting off flares and saying like, oh, we've got this incredible flare thing. We've been working on this story for 2 years, and it's UFOs, it's a triangle UFO of a military base. And that thing was debunked in about 20 minutes. So this was all in the same period of time. If you track it properly, and there's a lot more, including this case in Las Vegas where something went down in someone's backyard and they saw creatures and things like that. You know, for all I know, they did. Don't get me wrong. There's a lot of strange things and strange sightings in Las Vegas. And there's the whole story of the tall whites and Charles Hall's interaction with them. I don't doubt that those things happen. But when they gang these things up together, in the middle of it, we have a new, quote, whistleblower bringing forward claims and saying, even though I haven't seen any of the stuff, I keep hearing that we have aliens and stuff. You know, and the fact that his lawyer is chief spook and everything else, you have to really open your eyes on these things. And remember also that the people who were claiming the exact same things just a few years ago turned out to be lying to the public. There you go. Now, a tale of whistleblower headlines. Watch this, because this is interesting. Let's see if you can tell who's who. Newsweek, this is June 3rd, okay? UFO reverse engineering project should be made public, ex-Intel official. June 6th, military whistleblower goes public with claims U.S. has secret UFO retrieval program, terrestrial arms race. Ex-official who revealed UFO project accuses Pentagon of disinformation campaign, hiding aliens. These are three different people, but the headline could be for any of them, right? But this one, the one who was going after and made an IG complaint, is Lou Elizondo. Well, who else made an IG complaint? Our friend Grush. This is the new way that they do these things. By the way, in that complaint, Elizondo had to admit that he didn't lead a UFO program called ATIP, in that it was an activity that was unfunded. And, you know, basically, it's like having a softball team. UFO reverse engineering project should be made public, ex-Intel official, June 3rd. Like I said, no, that's not Grush that's saying that. That's Chris Mellon. That was a little dry run to see how the public would pick up on that 3 days before we got the Grush revelations. Then finally, we get Grush. Military whistleblower goes public with claims U.S. has secret UFO retrieval program. Air Force veteran says secret U.S. military program retrieving crafts of non-human origin sometimes encounter dead pilots. Dead alien pilots or dead pilots? It's a lot of shuffle. There's a lot of shuffling going on, a lot of dancing going on there with our friends. And if you learn to read between those lines, you start to get a whole lot of information, including the fact that all of these guys on some level work for intelligence, the CIA, have friends like Dr. Fauci, and are part of a very well-funded operation to create an entirely new paradigm about this breakaway technology breaking back in. And with that, Miss Olivia, you and your questions are up.
Ty Dubbins, DJ, what do you think about the supposed alien spaceship crash in Las Vegas backyard?
That's the one I was just talking about. The only thing that's unusual, I mean, the whole thing is unusual. And it reminds me of cases that used to happen. Isn't that interesting? You never really hear about a case where, you know, something crashes and then creatures come out anymore. And abductions seem to have stopped. That's weird too, isn't it? We were playing around with a little bit of a theory last week that whoever was conducting these tests during heavily 60s, 70s, 80s, big time in the 90s, suddenly stopped. Well, you know, could it be that they saw a lot of the things that were happening with the population and decided, oh, this population is going to get vaxxed, and we need to, you know, take DNA samples and all this stuff before they turn them into these half cyborgs or whatever. So something is weird about that. Now, just the story on its own, though, they do have the sighting by a police body cam of something going down. It could have been a meteor or anything, or it could have been a craft that was going down and got into trouble and landed in a backyard. And then you had that family come out and say, we saw these tall creatures with big eyes. Look.
And what's weird is supposedly a big mouth.
Really? I missed that part. I missed that description part. That did happen the April 30th, May 1st. And for some reason, that was kept out of everything for a month. It's not easy to do. And George Knapp, when he did a report on it, he said, oh, you know, we heard about it in mid-May, but, you know, the police were gathering things on it. Excuse me? You just hung out on it? A story like that with big creatures, 8 foot tall, walking around? That's really weird. So I do go back to the stories of Charles Hall when we get around this. So if we take it just as a case and not as a psyop, think about the tall whites story that Charles Hall told. And that is a very interesting story because Hall was a guy who was doing mail and weather on that base up in Nellis, basically Area 51. And he saw some very unusual things while he was there. Years later, wrote about them. Hall's story is pretty unusual. It's hard to take. And yet, there's a complete quality to the story. So you can sort of take it or leave it. But one of the weird things about the tall whites is they were saying, you know, they go back and forth around that Las Vegas area in those crafts, and they're responsible for a lot of those things. This is the artist's impression of that and those tall whites. Now, it is interesting because, you know, these creatures that were reported in that Las Vegas story are unusually tall. So there was kind of a crisscross there. So that's where my mind went immediately. And I do think that there's a number of things to be looked at in terms of this whole idea of tall whites and the exchange on some level of military technology with another race. So, you know, there are factors involved there. But the timing of that story is just completely bizarrely off the charts. Yes,
it is. And there's no video. There are no photos from a smartphone. And the thing is, the cops didn't show up for a whole hour. So even if they were stunned at first, if you believe that they were so freaked out that they couldn't at first take any photos or video, they had a whole hour to wait before the cops showed up. It's just a bizarre story.
Isn't that wild? Well, I will say that they do have some body cam footage of something going down around there.
Right, but the people with the backyard, you go, that, yeah, it just doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
You know, what's weird is when people come up with sightings and things, I actually lean into believing them exactly the way that they tell it. So it takes a series of research things to bring a story down in my eyes. So right now, I think it's a very unusual story, but I don't like the timing part and that they saved it for when Grush was coming out with his thing and when Knapp came out with his Corbell fail, and when NASA had their UFO here. I mean, there's quite a lot of activity in a very small window here, and that always invites a little bit of behind the scenes problems. Yes.
Moral Nomad says, Knapp says there was video taken, but where is it? I am tired of talk. Words are cheap. Talk is cheap. Let's get some facts. Let's get some evidence. This is absurd. G-Free, what is Daniel's opinion of Phil Schneider?
Well, Schneider's interesting. My friend Alexandra Bruce from Forbidden Knowledge TV did a fascinating book called The Philadelphia Experiment Murder. And she goes into great detail. And what's interesting and what people don't really realize about Schneider and his claims, which, by the way, are pretty edgy, but they do go into this whole idea about the DUMBS, the incredible underground bases that were developed. And he was part of this program of developing the DUMBS. So when we get into Schneider, there are things that he left out, put out there that seem to be sort of ahead of their time. And so I want to give him a lot of credit about that. Also, he only was around doing these conversations for about 6 months before he was killed. And, you know, he's basically strangled with piano wire. And, you know, what they said was, oh, he was trying to hold himself up in his wheelchair because he was having a health problem. It didn't add up. So he was seriously bumped off for letting out what he did about those programs. Was everything that he said, you know, exactly right? No, but I think that there is some truth to the things that he was putting out. And I think that he paid a price dearly for bringing them out on the level that he did. It's an astonishing case in the sense of the details that he brought out about our incredible development of underground bases. The intense part is that he brings in the Dulce thing where they were drilling in this underground base and they came across these very formidable aliens that the government was working with. And so that is, you know, that's a whole piece of the lore of Dulce, et cetera. And I have not, you know, I certainly have not discounted any of those stories. I think there could be truth to a core truth to all of them. Yes.
Dan Page, how many UFO incidents are deep state operations, terrestrial craft and not off planet?
Oh, they happen. They happen. There was a woman in the 90s who tracked MyLabs and those, like they call those military abductions, MyLabs. And unfortunately, she died of cancer in the late 90s, but she put together a series of very interesting explorations around that idea. And I have no doubt that they've tried to do that. Unfortunately, you also get people who will say any kind of alien abduction is mind control, will say, I can explain any, you know, alien abduction as mind control. No, you can't. Because some of them have the hallmark of the psyop or mind control. You have to be able to read the details about what's legitimately interacting with this other reality and what is, you know, the government putting together and feeding into people's heads. So the psyop factor is there. It's huge. It's large. And, you know, then we have other people who kind of psyop themselves, right? The Gaia TV types. And so we've seen a lot of that. So you have a lot to sift through. There's a lot of minefields, but the UFO file is crucial. The interactions with something of a totally different character than the human race, you know, operating side by side with it. You know, if you go into, for example, the Foo Fighters stories, that's before the big UFO wave hit. And so many people have given great accounts of that, including Gordon Cooper and the early astronauts who talked about this. And the idea coming out of it is that the Foo Fighters were these lights that would follow and in formation do the same things that the planes were doing, but could do much better maneuvers, et cetera. So somebody was operating that stuff. And I don't see any, you know, sometimes you get the people who come at you and say, well, UFOs are demons, you know. I mean, explain the Foo Fighters then, right? Demons just showed up because you're flying a plane. No, there's something about all of it which lends itself to a mystery and a different reality. Now, you also have to consider, as I've put on the record, that in ancient times, certain groups possessed this technology and better than the technology we have now. So one of the great things that I cite in relation to this is the work of Edgar Cayce, who told us about the Atlantean airships. This is important because the Ezekiel story is cited very often by the ancient aliens type believers who think, oh, he was encountering an ET craft. And it is an unusual story. But there are a series of readings that Cayce gave about Atlantean airships, which are absolutely fascinating and need to be considered along with all this. One of the things that he said when they asked him, well, can you describe an Atlantean craft for us? And he was like, yeah, it was just like what Ezekiel describes in the Bible, but that was a much later date. So if the Atlanteans were doing this stuff in, say, 10,000 BC with their advanced craft, and then you go up to Ezekiel, what is that, 2000 BC perhaps? Who held the technology for 8,000 years in between? What were they still doing operating the Atlantean technology? So somebody had it. Therefore, that's a factor. And in fact, you'll get hints, just like when the Shasta piece comes up, there's a hint that the advanced technology is associated with an advanced ancient culture. So we have to keep that in mind as we go. Everyone, you're watching The Dark Journalist Show. This is the UFO File Campaign 2024, RFK Jr. and Trump. Real disclosure, we're going into Atlantis, UFO File, going deep here tonight. I want to remind you to go to darkjournalist.com and sign up for our free newsletter that keeps us both in touch with each other through all the social media censorship that we're seeing just left and right. And, you know, it's much better than relying on social media for updates and things. And what you'll get with that newsletter is once a week, we'll let you know what incredible shows we have coming up for you. Phenomenal interviews. You won't believe the interviews we're going to have for you coming up in June, including Gigi Young. And this is going to be phenomenal with documentaries coming up and some very special events. So make sure you stand up and be counted. Go to darkjournalist.com, especially if you're new, and sign up for that newsletter. Make sure that you're on the honor roll. Miss Olivia, you're up.
Okay. This is from Baymax. To that question, do all the craft come out of Antarctica or under the ocean?
You know, it's funny. At the end of the Alex Jones interview, I was going into AUTEC, and we ran out of time for it. But AUTEC is crucial because AUTEC is right off of Bimini on the island of Andros. And it's AUTEC. They're in underwater Area 51. And they develop all of that reverse engineering piece from the point of view of being underwater. They also observe the craft that operate there, the USOs, as it were. But there's a great deal of activity that's involved with underwater UFOs. As a matter of fact, that area of Andros and Bimini, and we know what Cayce said about Bimini, including the fact that the Poseidon Atlantean temple was rising, yes, land rising there. We never hear about land rising, but that's happening. Land rising right there off of the east coast of America. Now, what he said was that these Atlanteans kept the records of the Hall of Records of the Atlanteans in three different places in the earth that contained all their technology, all their history, everything. We know that one of those places was the Great Sphinx. Under the right paw of the Great Sphinx was the entrance to the chamber that went to a secret pyramid somewhere. The other place was the Yucatan, where we did a show about Pawgate. We found a connection between a Yucatan Sphinx and the Great Sphinx. And he said the other one was right off the coast of Bimini. So part of the cover of AUTEC may be, oh, we're doing these underwater experiments, et cetera. But they may know that the Tuai power station, that ancient archaeology is taking place there. And they might be on the forefront of these archaeology wars. And, you know, I would not be surprised, and I've talked about this before, if they did, in fact, pull off another you know, false disclosure about Atlantis this time, if they have trouble with this UFO emergency, as it were. But yeah, absolutely fascinating. And I agree, the undersea part is crucial. Since I mentioned you gave me, you did it. You know, you did it with that question. You gave me the opportunity to read this fascinating passage about the Great Sphinx, even though we're covering the UFO file and it's about election 2024. We're going to Great Sphinx land. Okay, there's the Great Sphinx. And we know under the right paw, as Casey said here, when they've actually done that sound piece, they've found there is a great chasm, in fact, under the right paw. And Casey's, what he said basically is, hey, you know, it leads to a chamber. But let's hear about this chamber for a moment and what he has to say about it. The question was, what is the significance of the character of the figure of the Sphinx? Casey says, in this particular period of Arat, who is the pharaoh, and of the priest, Rata, which is Casey in a previous life, Atlantean high priest, that began those understandings that passed through those of the hell in the misinterpretation of same. There was even then the seeking through those channels that are today called archaeological research. This is what's fascinating about Casey's work. He suggests that the Giza Plateau, even though, you know, they say it's 2500 BC, he said it was 10,500 BC when they set up the Great Pyramid and the Sphinx there. But he said the reason they found the spot because they were doing archaeology about a much older culture. So how far back does that thing go? Quote, in those periods when the first change had come in the position of the land, the earth changes that took place, there had been an egress of the peoples or things, and they have that all in caps because of the way that he said it. When he talked about the things, they were these strange automatons that the Atlanteans had created. The Atlantean scientists made this human-type figure, and it reminds me too much about what we're doing with cloning and AI. But this is a real major screw up by them, but it gave them incredible advantage. And when they would go into other lands, they would bring these automatons with them. And so he says, a city was builded on the edge of the land, a city of those that worship the sun, for the use of its rays were used for supplying from the elements, which is required in the present to be grown through a season. And he talks about this, and this is also about how they use the two-eye crystal. Now, when there was the entrance of Arat, they began to build upon those mounds which were discovered through research. That's the archaeology that Rata and Hermes and others were doing. That's how they found. So there were mounds there where they did the Great Pyramid, 10,500 BC, that were already ancient. And he says, with the storehouse or record house, the Atlantean Hall of Records, where the records are still to be uncovered, there's a chamber or passage from the right forepaw of the Sphinx to this entrance of the record chamber or record tomb. This may not be entered without an understanding, for those that were left as guards may not be passed until after a period of their regeneration in the mount, or the fifth root race begins. So there's a great deal of mystery in what we're dealing with, what we're talking about, when we get around what happened there with the setting up of the pyramids and the Sphinx. So when we get into areas like the UFO file and the great mystery that it represents, let's remember the lessons from the mystery schools of Edgar Casey's work, Rudolf Steiner, Gurdjieff, Blavatsky. They're telling us there's something, there's a shift, there's a secondary reality. And in terms of the records, Casey's suggesting, well, you're not going to be able to get at those records until these figures that are guarding it are regenerated in the mount. That calls for a lot of interpretation. And doesn't that get us into a mystery very much like the UFO file? Unbelievable. Everyone, you're watching the Dark Journalist Show. This is a special report for you going deep on the UFO file. We just went into Casey in the Hall of Records because someone was crazy enough to bring that up and let me go off. We'll take a couple more questions and then we'll let you go for tonight. And you're up.
Matakwe Oyasin, does DJ think there could be lab-developed genetically engineered creatures that they will attempt to pass off as real aliens to bolster their operations credibility?
Oh, yeah. Are you a mind reader? What's going on over there? Yes. The answer flat out. Look, they've already been doing what could be, you know, really called atrocious experiments around cloning. And when they get to the cross-pollination of cyber, by the way, this is one of the wonderful things I want to give RFK Jr. points for. Right off the bat, when he was talking with Elon, he said, you know, I wanted to ask you a question. You know, you've done such a great thing with having free speech and, you know, doing this on Twitter and stuff. Why is it that you are doing Neuralink, which seems to me on the forefront of something, a technology to be abused, about putting implants in people's heads to control them for totalitarian purposes? It's just like, this is going to be a great space. RFK Jr. does not hold back. This is a transparency man. You know, I don't know if he's going to get the presidency, but man, he is bringing real transparency in here. We are all learning from the efforts of this guy. And if he can get the presidency, this is going to be truly transformative. But we have to remember, when you're talking about this stuff, you know, there are people in tremendous positions of power. Like I've said, you know, with what they've done with Musk, making him the new Howard Hughes, who believe in this idea that you can implant you know, this cyborg activity and enhance yourself, you know, an enhanced human and all this stuff. They actually believe that, and they want to make it fashionable. So it's a kind of a sick thing, truly.
Kind of.
Yeah. And, and I can only tell you that this is the surface part that we know, you know, and there's a lot of atrocities involved there. So whenever we get around things like human tissue and what's done with it and all the rest of it, and unfortunately, when they get that into the abortion issue and things like that, these are areas I try to stay away from in conversation because there's too many different opinions. But one thing I can say to you is, when they talk about, you know, we can do an abortion after somebody is born or whatever, to me, it is exactly for these types of experiments, because God knows what it is that they do if they could get those types of rules passed and what they can do with individuals, growing them up from, you know, from birth into their strange cyborg programs. So that's a whole Dr. Frankenstein ball of wax to open up. But there need to be hardcore ethics around the society about how we deal with AI, how we deal with cloning, and how we deal with the ramifications as a human civilization of things that can very quickly become inhuman. And that needs to be the center, you know, just as much as the Constitution is the center faith, the center understanding of the culture, ethics in dealing with the technology, and things of the nature of Neuralink and things like that. You know, I would never, ever let anyone insert anything into my brain. And I don't think any sensible person would, you know, the idea that you can take Neuralink, this is the cover story for Neuralink is, you know, well, hey, we'll have this great ability to, you know, if somebody is in an accident, we can reconnect their physical function. Well, that's a totally different thing, isn't it? But unfortunately, they said, yeah, and we'll go from there to enhance humans, because I think we can interact humanity with AI in a way that gives us an upper hand. No, no, no. You took the first part, you had me on the first part, and then you took it over a cliff. So as a society, as a culture, you're coming from a moral center for those types of things, you know, and I don't even walk around moralizing for anything, you know, but you do not do those types of things and then create an entire non-human structure with that. It's very dangerous, and we know it. I mean, even the Terminator movies, which everyone watched since, what, the 1984 is the first one that came out. So there's been generations of people who've grown up with that stuff. And, you know, I remember watching the movie as a kid, and, you know, it stuck with me. And I'm sure that Cameron knew this is exactly true. This is exactly how it's going to go down. And now we're on the cusp of creating that, a self-fulfilled fantasy. I mean, how many Star Trek episodes do they have or 2001 Space Odyssey, where AI takes over, whatever. You know, the culture is aware of this. So what's the disconnect? Well, they're doing it on purpose. And, you know, there's a kind of insanity in the leadership.
You
so
know
there's,
what it is?
There's a lack of vision.
I actually got very clear about it this week, is that this is self-loathing.
Oh, yeah.
I was thinking about Yuval Noah Harari as kind of the poster child of self-loathing, and that these people really hate their humanity. And in fact, they... And
that's interesting, because
yourself,
I loathe him. Yeah.
I know. But if you loathe yourself, you're really not capable of love for anyone, and certainly not for humanity as a whole. And this is really the problem. It's this is lack of love.
Wow, that's really true. My God. That goes to a totally deep level on this.
I mean, that's what's wrong with humanity, period. Right. And they're just more pathological than most.
Excellent point. What else have you got?
Okay,
we'll take
Peter
two more
Nuss.
Questions.
Please address the stranger at the Pentagon 1957 Valiant Thor.
Look, I'm telling you, Frank Stranges, who wrote that book, was basically like a preacher. He was the resident minister at the Pentagon. And that's where the whole story comes from. Now, he could have been fooled. You know, there could have been a lot of things that went on. But there is something to that story about there's a point in time where humanity is going to blow itself up. And I think that we did come very close to that in the 1950s and 60s. And again, now, you know, in the 1980s. And of course, now with the ridiculous policy that we have in Ukraine of really engaging a nuclear situation, which is completely unnecessary. There's no peace process involved there at all. And this is a complete failure of the Stepford Biden administration. But what I will say is when you go back and you look at this whole story through the lens of, could there have been projections of individuals who were sent here to get to the leadership to tell us, you know, there's a very interesting story about President Eisenhower meeting with these kind of Pleiadian-looking aliens, and that when the story was tracked back by, of all people, Stanton Friedman. Now, Stanton Friedman, as you know, didn't take any guff, especially people making up stories and things. So he was a nuclear physicist. He was deep in the whole process, and he called the whole thing we were doing with the UFO file Cosmic Watergate. So he understood truth from fiction. One of the things that he did is he tracked the story back and he realized, aha, this is a real story. And there were real people involved who had to take time apart and, you know, guard a certain airport for this whole interchange to happen. And what they said was that, oh, President Eisenhower took an unexpected trip to California for dental work. That's the official story. So, do we have those types of leadership meetings with aliens? In that exchange, the Pleiadians said, we want to give you things to help you spiritually. And supposedly Eisenhower said, can you give us a technology transfer? You know, like, can you give us some of your technology? And they said, well, you guys aren't ready for that yet, but we want to warn you, one, stay away from this nuclear side. And two, we can give you a kind of a spiritual philosophy, if you know, and you can let people know that we're here and doing this with you. And he said, well, if we're not going to get any technology out of it, I think we'd rather not freak the population out by letting them know about your presence. It would be too upsetting to the culture. So let's just forget about it. And what's weird is there's another story along this line that there was a group like the Greys, who appear to be like the Greys, who offered them the same deal, but with the technology. And that they took that deal, and that as a result of that deal, that's where we got all of the abductions. And that the deal was, Eisenhower said, you can, you know, give us the technology and you can abduct a certain amount of people, but you have to let us know. One of the first thing is you have to return them after you abduct them. And you have to let us know each and every one that you do this to. And that in the beginning, they kept to that. And then after a while, they just started abducting a whole bunch of people and the treaty was not ratified. Now, there's no proof, hard proof for that. But as I said, the original story of Ike meeting with Pleiadians, you know, has, according to Stanton Friedman, had some real background to it. And, you know, Stanton Friedman is someone who called out Bob Lazar. He was one of the first guys to do it, to say, you lied about your education history. How can I trust you about this other stuff? And it's true, Bob Lazar claimed he went to MIT and Caltech and all this stuff, and he didn't. So, you know, we have to be realistic about those things, regardless of the what we can think about someone's story, you know, because there could be things that Lazar said in his story that were true. So including the fact that when they recovered the craft that they did, that he saw, that it was archaeology. It was an old craft. It wasn't something that had happened recently. I think there are gaps in this, and I think this is going to come up in another episode that we're doing about the Cosmos Club, revisiting it, because the feature of it, the founder being stationed in Cape Girardeau for all this time, and that the first major crash happened in 41 in Cape Girardeau, but he was stationed there in 1863 during the Civil War, and that he stayed there for a decade. Something very strange about that. And the idea that somebody found ancient craft definitely resonates. I think that there's a lot of truth to that. So to bring it into Val Thor, finally, just like I think there's some validity to the Pleiadian story with Eisenhower, I think there's some validity to the Val Thor story. Strangely enough, Phil Schneider was someone who said that what he knew about Val Thor is that he didn't age. Isn't that interesting? Everyone, you're watching the Dark Journalist Show, UFO File Campaign, RFK Jr., and President Trump, who they have indicted. This is the second time, and it is absolutely historic, because the first time they've done it for Stormy Daniels, that case is coming up next year in the middle of the Republican primaries. This case is coming up next year in the middle of the presidential race. How much interference can we take in our political process from that system, you know, that national security state trying to guarantee that they don't get Bobby or Jr. or Trump in as president? We're going to take one more question tonight, Miss Olivia, so make it a good one.
Okay. Well, I'm going to use this one as a jump off point
here. Okay.
Okay. So Vlad the Sanctions Impaler says, DJ, is the alien plot meant to get the U.S. and the rest of the Western world to unite to fight aliens? So obviously this is a money grab and a power grab.
Oh yeah.
But there's the idea that we're going to, we already have Space Force.
Yes.
Where does a one world government come in to unite humanity?
Well, in a way, they kind of need the alien thing more than anything else to get the one world government, because if something is attacking us off world, then we get the whole world united around fighting it off. And one of the things that Reagan came up with in those speeches was, I often wonder, you know, how quickly our differences would vanish if we were facing an alien threat from outside this world. Well, there is an alien threat. It's interesting. When you look back at Reagan, there's a lot unknown there about what he was being given. One of the things, and I brought it up today in the Alex interview, is that he was being shown by scientists, and one of the scientists was Norm Berggren, who wrote about this later, about these craft that were large, that were basically refueling or hanging out in the rings of Saturn. And he was getting information and intel back about them, and he basically was completely freaked out, which is why he brought it up to Gorbachev at Reykjavik, because he thought these things are going to invade. So there's a weirdness to that story, but Reagan had a deep knowledge about the UFO piece, and he talked about it, and he hosted, you know, E.T., the movie premiere at the White House. And when it was over, he said, everyone in this room knows that that is nonfiction. So, and Spielberg was there, and, you know, so there's a weird inside knowledge about the off-world aspect, or some level. So, you know, I think that the whole idea of, you know, the world being united against an alien threat is something that was created, because I don't think there is an alien threat. I think that the UFO threat has been created. I don't think that there aren't aliens. I don't think that there aren't UFOs. There are. But There's not a threat in the way that they're describing it. The whole thing about
not like an imminent threat,
right? It's not an emergency. There's been no hostility shown through the years around this. There have been incidents that suggest a huge curiosity about things like our technology, our nuclear bases. But then we also have to remember you've got off-world players, you've got extraterritorial players, you maybe have ancient society players. So who are you dealing with? Who's actually setting off things? Who would benefit from a fake alien invasion? The national security state, the centralization of powers, the emergency powers groups. You see them grabbing emergency powers during the COVID crisis. They grabbed everything. They grabbed so many of the constitutional rights of Americans. It's absurd. Like, no right to assembly. Remember that one? You can't go to church. So they'd be happy to lay that out. And like I've said, the COVID op is just one of these run-ups they could do. I think that from an honest estimation of what they're doing, they have a few things in mind. They have environmental disasters that they can create or imitate, or they can see them coming in and they can use it for part of this. Oh, we're going to use the climate change emergency so that you don't have any power. Or they could use a gigantic cyber operation and say, this is a gigantic cyber hack and welcome to the blackout. Then we'd be in a totally different situation there. And they would say, well, we're going to rebuild the internet. And guess what? Only the good people get back on the internet. So there are a number of things that can happen. Of course, the UFO threat, I think, is the thing that it's kind of like the pearl in the crown. I think this is the thing that they have relied on, they've developed, and it is the ultimate thing they want to use. And I think that the continuity of government rules mixed with the UFO file secrecy are the ultimate ingredients for that kind of fascist takeover. Yeah.
David Tremita says, by the way, DJ, did you hear the new Captain America movie just changed its title to Brave New World from the prior name New World Order?
Oh, that's great. One other thing I want to say about things that are coming in the future. A lot of the mystery schools have told us about Earth changes coming, and they've told us about land rising and how this is going to be a crucial part of things that are taking place. I want that to be inserted as part of the conversation when we're looking out into the future and weighing these things out, because it's not out there. There's a reason why these scientists aren't talking about land that's rising, because land that's rising, if it rises in international waters, it's anybody's game. And two, it's a whole other aspect of the ecology, and it might expose a lot of what they've been saying about climate change versus just natural earth changes. Now, the earth changes that are coming up, according to the mystery schools, include a gradual pole shift, include inundations, include earthquakes, but it includes land rising. And if it's done in a particular way, humanity can actually benefit in the final analysis. However, it may be a cataclysmic style activity at times, especially given the kind of man-made disregard for the environment. I've always felt that we should have a real big conversation about the environment, and that the environmental destruction by the corporations should be something that they pay for, and it shouldn't be anything that the independent media hides from and says, we don't believe in climate change, so we never talk about having a good environment. No. If Apple has ruined the environment, if SpaceX and Tesla, I think that's a ripoff of the name Tesla. I don't know. I think Tesla's relatives should sue him for that. But if they're doing that, if they're destroying this environment, then they should be the ones who are paying for it with all the money on their balance sheet. It doesn't have to be anything about the average citizen getting taxed for their environmental nonsense and the fact that they want to fly in private planes. So, there's things to work out there. The tone deaf attitude, the optics of the Davos crowd and all that stuff, hanging out in Switzerland, 100-year-old wine and caviar while they're, creating right, homeless problems. Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just too much. And so, they've reached a point. They've gone into that zone, and I had a good name for the zone. I called it the Colbert Vax Dance Zone. This is beyond freaky. You know, when you become totally demented as a culture, you get something like the Colbert Vax Dance Zone. Everyone, it's been great to be here with you tonight. What a fantastic episode.
Can I throw you one more?
Sure.
Kind of a curveball.
Yeah.
Tricky Vicky says, is there a connection between Betty Hill's description of Nazi officer on ship, UFO tech, and the current war regime?
Yeah. I will say this, that it's very strange. It's Barney Hill's description, actually. This is a different alien, but it's the same kind of thing. Barney Hill's description is pretty clear in his hypnosis sessions. If you listen to them, what he says is, this one alien I'm looking at is very pleasant and whatever, but the other one, oh, he's got evil eyes. Oh my God, he's a Nazi. He's actually a Nazi. So, there's a lot of things that are going on there with the beings that are picking them up. For Barney Hill, this one looked like a Nazi. He also will say, oh, he has slanty eyes. And again, I got into thinking about how so many people mistook these men in black for Asian, when in fact, John Keel realized that they were actually describing Sami people. Those are the ones he took the picture of the Sami and he showed it to so many of the people who had described men in black and said, that's it. And it wasn't like, you know, 5 out of 10, 6 out of 10 said that. They all said it. So the Samis were the ones that were being used in that Men in Black program. And interestingly enough, that history of the Sami, I have an episode on it that I've done. I've done a couple on it. It's a very fascinating subject, but they are well, well known for their shamanistic, astral, and magical abilities. And the idea that we have an astral agency inside of the Central Intelligence Agency doing these things, and that would really get us to a lot of answers about the Men in Black, because they can be there 1 minute and then they're gone. And, you know, they have unusual abilities which seem like they defy all the laws of physics and reality. Well, you know, if the Sami Men in Black are so good at projecting and astral projection, they might be able to project themselves into places and pop in and out and things of this nature and that kind of trickster attitude. So the astral agency piece needs to be kept in mind. We know the Central Intelligence Agency are so, so interested in exploiting psychic abilities. And they have invaded a number of places. On the record, they invaded the Casey Foundation in 1964, went in there because they were looking for information about the Hall of Records. That's on the record. So, you know, along with their other strange activities of looking in Mount Ararat for Noah's Ark, you're an intelligence agency. This is a kind of an interesting activity. Well, it's a totally different branch inside there that's operating with very, shall we say, different rules. And with that, Miss Olivia, we're going to wrap it up. What do you got?
I'm going to ask you to recount the story of Betty Hill's star map.
Yeah. Well, we might do, I'm going to include that.
Forgotten about it. It's such a...
Yes, it is fascinating. And there's no question that what she saw, and we're going to do something that involves the Hills, but what she saw when she was abducted, she recounted under hypnosis and she drew it. And then they found in that area of Zeta Reticuli, the things that hadn't been on the map at the time. They weren't discovered till 1968 and her abduction was 61. It was 7 years ahead of its time. I have no doubt that the Hills case was an authentic case. The question is, how much interference was going on in relation to it? But I also think that Barney Hill's death is very strange and related to the experience as well. But interestingly enough, we know that Obama, as part of his Netflix deal, decided to choose Betty and Barney Hill as the movie story that his production company was going to take on first. It's number one. So that movie called White Mountain, that's coming out in, I think, January. And there's an interesting sideshow where, you know, Barney and Betty Hill's granddaughter are being she is an Ultimate Fighter, and she wants to be included in the movie. It's very interesting indeed, and she's quite popular in that Ultimate Fighting arena. So things could get interesting there. But how odd is it that Obama's doing that? He's part of the Breakaways breaking back in. He wants to be on the
Wouldn't UFO Joseph trip. Call this a coalescence of interests?
Oh, for sure. Mm-hmm. For sure it is. Yes. And with that, Miss Olivia, okay, you're up.
Yeah. Okay. So let me thank these super chatters. W.C. Ray, Gillenjoy R., Robert Scott, Jamie Smith, Vlad the Sanctions Impaler, Ethereal Material, Panpo, The Weed in Your Garden, Channeling the Heart, Barbara Joyce, Eurythmia's Fun, Global Atlantis, Doreen Hewitt, The Objective Collective, J.R., Terry Doherty, Mark Lane, Redcap Goblin, Cheryl T. 1970, Moral Nomad, Debbie McAdoo, Jennifer Walters, Slow Time, Tricky Vicky, G Free, Baymax, Jimmy Lyle Kennemer, BC, The Buddhas of Boston Sports, Medley Childress, and Happy Camper. Thank you so much for your generous super chats.
Unbelievable. Wow. Incredible. We so appreciate your support, and to all our subscribers and the people who have been supporting our operation here for a long time. Thank you. It makes a huge difference, and it lets us do these amazing reports and really go deep for you. We will be back next week with X-Series 152, and we have special interviews coming up for you. Actually, next week are the interviews, and the week after that is X-152. Along with some special reports, we're going to be tracking the Trump indictment case very closely. It's an incredible miscarriage of justice, the things that are going on there. Bobby Kennedy's speech, very exciting, coming up June 20th, 60-year anniversary of the American University speech by John F. Kennedy. And we have to remember the incredible things that Kennedy was doing, the incredible moves that made him such an enemy of that establishment. And I wanted to let's remember Kennedy on that, and how really when he was driving into Dallas, he had the whole hopes of all Americans on his shoulders, bringing the world to a better place before they took it to a totally different place and removed him. And so he died trying to make a better world, but he saved the world during the Cuban Missile Crisis. So we salute President Kennedy for the incredible things that he did as president. And let's remember that I found the letter as senator in 1958, him writing the Air Force saying, what's going on with this UFO stuff? Are you guys hiding it? What's happening? And him getting a response back. And that letter is still at the JFK Library. Interestingly enough, they included it. But I found an interesting copy of that. And I think it's crucial to understand that this UFO file dance goes back into our history long before some of us were even born. And, you know, it's an intergenerational parent to grandparent, and into the future we go on this. I want to also shout out a few people here. Of course, I saw Joseph out there, and he's been doing some great stuff. We're going to have him back on very shortly. And we are going to get it back. I like that. Jennifer Walters, nicely done. Miss Olivia, bravo. You did an outstanding job. Someone shouted you out there. Miss Hemptress, fantastic. Nighty Night, Auntie Social. Esther Taylor. Terry Doherty, Traveling Roadside Blues. Tina Borich and Gigi Young, doing amazing work. And you want to check out Gigi Young's YouTube channel. Just really remarkable. Her latest videos, just off the charts and getting into very deep X territory. So you're going to want to see it. Tricky Vicky, thank you very much. Scarlet Fire, Civil Serpents. That's the one. Wow. Yeah, well, that says a lot. Jack Nelson, Salt of the Earth. And I guess I should thank Alex for having me on the show and the crew over there at InfoWars. I know Kate's out there. It's great to see you. Of course, Kate helped me set up the stream with InfoWars.
Do you want to tell everybody what he said during the commercial breaks?
he was good. We actually got to chat a little bit. And I very much enjoyed that conversation. He was very into the conversation. Alex has a lot to share on this topic. And I think that when I get around to interviewing him, this is going to be some really wild stuff. Jennifer Walters, Goodnight Ideas Room, Blue Lotus, thank you, Silver Fox, Elysium, wow, just a great crew out there tonight, Rebel Alliance, and what do we got here, Debbie McAdoo, Gypsy Moon, Goodnight XFam, isn't that what a great ideas room tonight, amazing questions, wow, oh, Eurythmia is fun, thank you so much. Bravo, Miss Olivia, says Eurythmia is fun.
I think we just better face the fact that it's going to be a UFO summer. It is. You know, and that really we shouldn't pivot too far from that topic.
Well, true, but remember the craze in the hot zone. There's some great X-Series hot zone episodes coming up. But yeah, the UFO file is here to stay, and we're going to be bringing the truth out about that. Najat is out there, Nick Malone. There's Chi-Chi, the summer of UFOs. Catherine Harris, excellent. Hal Colombo, we will see you all next week and have a fantastic, fantastic weekend. And remember, even though it says end broadcast, never really ends.
Never really ends.
Remember, if you're new, sign up for the newsletter at darkjournalist.com and have a great night, everyone.
Yep. The link for InfoWars will be in the newsletter.
Yes, we're going to send that out. You'll get it tomorrow. And in the meantime, it's at band.video, but if for any reason, it's at the top. But if for any reason you can't find it, we're going to have it in tomorrow's newsletter, along with this show, which I'm sure you're going to want to check out again. And don't worry, the broadcast never ends. That's exactly what I was going to say. And, you know, never let it be forgot.
Once there was a Camelot.
Once there was a Camelot, and there can be again. So we will see you all. Thank you, Ideas Room. And we'll talk to you all next week.
Okay. God bless.